the Epiphany story of the Magi's visit to the Christ child as told in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Let us listen together for God's word. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem at Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. May God bless this reading and our hearing.
On a table in our entryway, we often have a pile of invitations. Maybe you do too. Invitations to birthday parties, graduations, anniversary parties, weddings, that sort of thing. In all my years, though, of keeping that pile at various heights and going through it from time to time, I have never seen two invitations that were exactly the same, right? Some are big, some are small, some have envelopes, some do not, some are bright and colorful, others are more subdued, some ask for an RSVP, and others do not. But invitations don't always come as cards in the mail, do they? We get them from phone calls and text messages, and there's invitation services that come in our email inboxes, and certainly we get face-to-face invitations as well. So invitations come in a lot of different formats, and they look a lot of different ways, but however they look and however they come to us, an invitation is an invitation. And it does what an invitation does, right? Which is to invite us to do something. Let's be together in prayer. Loving God, there are signs and wonders all the time that come to us. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear. Give us your word this morning, God, and nothing less. Amen. So Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, the story of the Magi, it's not a card, it's not a phone call or a text message or a direct message, it's not a face-to-face invitation, but it is still an invitation of a certain kind. Here's how Matthew tells the story. There was some Magi, some stargazers in the east who saw some strange signs and wonders in the sky, and they decided that they were going to head out. And they came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We have seen its star in the rising, and we have come to pay him homage." The Magi are fascinating, aren't they? They have long been interesting to our tradition. We have lots of different mythology and lore. We've even given names to the Magi, right? Even though the scripture account doesn't offer those to us. They're just fascinating, and we want to know more about them. But here's some things we do know about them. We know that we don't know that they were men, right? They could have been men. They could have been women. They could have been both. The text just doesn't tell us. Another thing that we know is that we don't know that there were three of them, right? We oftentimes think of the three kings, the three magi, because there are three gifts. And so we just kind of make the inference that it must have been three magi, but it wasn't. Probably a lot more than that. And they came with camels and servants and a whole entourage, a whole big gaggle of people that came. We think that they weren't kings, but that they were astrologers. And if they were astrologers, they likely came from the center of astrology in the ancient world, was the great city of Babylon. So why did they come? They came because they had been gazing at the stars, seeing signs and wonders, and they saw what indicated to them that a king had been born to the Jews, and so they headed out, and they came west to Jerusalem. Now, when they were there, maybe they didn't know the political situation. Maybe they didn't know how corrupt King Herod was. Maybe they didn't care. But when they got there, they shared with King Herod the signs that they had seen and the suspicion that they had that the newborn king of the Jews had been born. Matthew tells us that this terrified Herod, right? Threatened him. Why? Because Herod was a puppet under Roman authority. And even the aroma, the hint, the whiff of a rival king might erode Rome's confidence in Herod and push him out. So, motivated by fear and an intense desire to hold on to his power, he calls in his Jewish scribes and priests and asks them, thinking to himself, if this is a newborn king, is it possible this is also the Messiah that our Jewish people have been waiting for? And if so, where is the Messiah predicted to be born? And the priests and the scribes tell him that Micah, quoting Micah, that the Messiah was supposed to be born in Bethlehem, the city of David. So, with that information, Herod calls the stargazers back to his court, and with a forked and hissing tongue, he says to them, why don't you go and find this newborn king? And when you find him, come and tell me so that I might go and pay him homage too. So with that, off they went, following that same star that had brought them to Jerusalem. And I don't know how this happens, how a star hovers over one house in particular, but that's the way Matthew tells the story. And there it hovered as a celestial invitation for the Magi to go into that house and to do something. And so they got inside, and they found Jesus and Mary, and it must have been a very powerful moment for them. They had come so far through great dangers, and there in the manger they knelt, and they offered gifts fit for a king. Wondrous gold, rare and exotic frankincense, and luxurious myrrh. We often think about the kings giving gifts or the magi giving gifts, but you know, I think they received some gifts as well. First, they received the gift of epiphany, of awakening, of a revelation that God's love had been born into the world. Second, they received the gift of a vision, right, that warns them not to go home through Herod and not to go home through another route. And they also receive the gift, I think, of being transformed, changed through the worship of the Christ child, which as they go, bringing their epiphany message with them, they go on to change even the whole world. It is a fantastic story, read so wonderfully by Deirdre. Thank you. It's just an incredible story. But it's more than a story, right? It is a certain kind of invitation. And if that's true that it's an invitation, then the question for us this morning becomes, what does this story invite us to? What does it invite you to do in 2020? I think this ancient story invites us to do a lot of things in 2020, but here's a few things that bubbled up for me. First, I think that Matthew 2 invites us to do a bit of stargazing on our own, right? I believe in faith, I really do, that the still speaking God is still speaking to us, each of us, all the time, giving us signs and wonders all over the place. Sometimes the signs come in stars like it did for the Magi, but other times it comes through news headlines, through prayers, through conversations, through a feeling you get on the ski lift. Signs and wonders come to us all the time, but in my experience, maybe yours too, that we don't always identify the signs that God is giving to us, the invitations that God is offering to us. And if we do see them or hear them or think them, we don't always know what they mean or how to act on them. So in 2020, this is a good opportunity, a good reminder for all of us to do a bit of stargazing through prayer, through reflection, through conversation, to discern what God is inviting you to do, and then to go and do it. Second, Matthew 2 is inviting us not only to stargaze, but also to take a journey of discovery, and here's the hard part, a journey of discovery beyond our comfort zones. So I don't know what it was like to be a magi in the ancient world, but the way that Matthew describes it, it's a pretty cushy gig, right? You get to lounge around all night watching the stars, and that information is sought after by the rich and the powerful, right? So maybe you're hanging out in the court during the day waiting to be called on. So why would you leave the gazing and the lounging to head out on a long and dangerous journey of discovery far beyond your comfort zone? I don't know why the Magi did it, but they were called to do it. They saw something that drew them in. They heard something that made them leave the plush life behind and head out into the unknown. And there they found something very worth finding. So it's simple to say, right, but it's hard to do. The invitation here is for us, once we've discerned God's invitation to us, to set out on a long and dangerous journey of discovery beyond our current comfort zones, to see what we might find that's worth finding. So lastly, I think that Matthew 2 is an invitation for each of us and all of us to be transformed through the worship of Jesus Christ this year, again or maybe for the first time. Right, those Magi, they made the journey of discovery, they reached Jesus, and when they were there in that powerful moment, they didn't like make dinner or have a big meal, according to Matthew. They didn't chat and drink tea. They bowed down and worshiped. Right? They gave their offerings and received things in return, and they were transformed. Right? This little detail at the end, I love it. Right? They had a vision to return home by another route. They were unable to go home the same way that they had come, I think, because they were different. In the words of T.S. Eliot's famous poem, The Journey of the Magi, they were no longer at ease in the old dispensation. They had been transformed through the worship of the Christ child. I'll end with this. That there's one aspect of invitation that we haven't talked too much about, but is really important, right? That it's one thing to receive an invitation, but it's another thing to respond to it, and to respond to it with a yes. It's easy to say no. It's easy to just to leave the invitation in a pile on the entryway table. It's easy just to leave it in your email inbox. But this year, I wonder what would happen if, after receiving this invitation from Matthew 2, that we responded to it with a big, fat, and sustained yes. What if we answered this invitation? I wonder how that would change us and change our families, change our community, and even our whole world. I wonder how we might change with some stargazing and some journeying, and daring to worship the Christ child. Some wondering to carry us into 2020. In Christ's name and for the life of the whole world. Amen.